And let's take our Bible tonight and go over the book of 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 tonight, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to pick back up on the thought that we started this morning. I started preaching a thought on when God's people, when God's people does something. Now this morning it was when God's people prays together. And we looked over there in Acts chapter 12 about the early church when they prayed for Peter to get free out of prison. But tonight I want to preach on the thought of when God's people or when the church praises together. When's the last time you praise the Lord? Now, Brother Jeff, he taught a wonderful Sunday school lesson on praise this morning, and we should praise the Lord. Would you agree to that tonight, that we ought to praise the Lord? Amen. I believe that He's worthy of all our praise tonight. I have no doubt of that. The Bible said in Psalms 150 and verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. And so we're to praise the Lord tonight. But let's take a Bible. We'll go to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 while we stand our feet, if we would, across the house and at the reverence of the reading of God's Word. You pray for your preacher tonight. We certainly need your prayers. But I believe the Lord can help us in this message tonight. This is very familiar scripture to me. I hope it is for you. But we'll begin to read in verse 21. We'll look at what's coming up, but then look at what the Lord does. Verse 21 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The Bible says, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and the precious jewels which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil, it was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berachah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place is the valley of Berachah unto this day." You can be seated tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for these that have come. We pray that they have received a blessing already from the singing tonight. And I pray that you bless our time of preaching now. We certainly need you to come by and touch us for a little while. I pray you guard our mind and our thoughts. Lord, just help us in that to be focused on you and on this message tonight. If there's one here lost, I pray you might save them. I pray that you bring them in that to a place of repentance, that they would come to know you as their personal Savior and get saved tonight. Lord, I know you want to save people. You came and died so that folk could get saved tonight. And Lord, it would just be wonderful if a lost person, maybe a young boy, a young girl, would walk the aisle tonight and come and get saved. I pray you'd deal with their heart. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here that's got a need, I pray that need would be met tonight. And Lord, we sure do love you and thank you for all that you've done. And I pray again, I ask you to guard our mind and our thoughts and help us save that sinner's news tale for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we preach tonight, I want to remind myself and you too that, boy, we can do nothing without the Lord tonight. In John 15 and 5, in the very last part, he said, "Without me, you can do nothing." But as we look at this passage of Scripture tonight, as we read, and if you understand what's taking place, we've preached on it many times over the years. King Jehoshaphat and the kingdom of Judah has got 3 different companies coming up against them. They come over and they pray before the Lord. As a matter of fact, in verse 12, he goes as much to say that neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And I remember hearing Brother Buster Seaton years ago, I preach a message out of this. What a blessing that he preached on it. And boy, it helped me. But as we looked at this right here and we come down to the last part, Instead of sending the army out to fight, as a matter of fact, God said, down in verse 17, he said, "You shall not need to fight in this battle." He said, "Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you." Well, now I bet that was a blessing. I mean, if you go back in a few chapters, you'll find they'd been fighting and fighting and fighting. And here God said, "You don't need to fight. I said, I'm going to take care of it." Said, "As a matter of fact, I said, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And so when tomorrow come, after they had worshiped God and they had praised the Lord already once, he sends them out in verse 21. And I want you to notice right here that as they go out, they begin to praise the beauty of holiness. Now, can I say tonight that I have no doubt that God loves when me and you praise Him by ourselves. When you're alone in the car, whether you're at home or wherever you may be, say, "Lord, I just want to thank you today for all that you've done. Lord, I just want to praise you with everything that I've got." Hey, listen, I've sat in my study many times and just praise the Lord for what He's done. But again, here as we look at this, we find that God's people is gathered together and they're going out and that to praise Him together. Can I say that when we come in here, it's not only to hear preaching, it's not only to hear teaching, it's not only to learn, it's not only to fellowship one with another, and that about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He done for us, but it is to praise Him for who He is and what He's done. Hey, can I say tonight, as he starts right here, he said, look, he said, "I want you to go out and praise Him for the beauty of holiness." I never give that much consideration what King Jehoshaphat was saying. He said, "Look, there's beauty in holiness." He said, "When you go out, the first thing I want you to praise is praise God for who He is." Tonight, I think he was saying, He's worthy. Hey, when you come in here tonight, did you have the idea and the thought of praise on your mind? Or we just had to rush here and get here? And listen, I know that we rush and we get here, but even when we're rushing, we can still have the thought of praise on our mind. Amen. Even if you're running late, you can still have the thought of praise on your mind. But notice right here that he said to praise the beauty of holiness. Let me say tonight that, friend, that first of all, we praise the Lord because of who He is. He is a holy and a just God tonight and worthy to be praised. 2 Samuel 22, David said in one of his Psalms here, "I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised." Whether He's ever done anything for you, whether He lifts His finger for you or not tonight, He's worthy of all your praise. He's worthy of all my praise. Well, we talk about everything and everybody else. Listen, I hope that you don't honor sports stars and rock stars and country stars and political stars. Listen, tonight you ought to honor the Lord and praise Him tonight. Amen. He is the one that is worthy. Revelation chapter 4, you get over there and said, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." He's worthy tonight. When we come in here, He's worthy for us to sing about. Oh, He's worthy tonight. Friend, when we sung over here tonight, what was that? It won't come to my mind now. But listen, when we were singing that one at page 317, somebody help me out. Page 317, "His love lights the way." Man, I know it'd come to me eventually, Brother Jim. Listen, it's His love. Listen, that lights my way about my whole life tonight. It lit it up to go to Calvary to show me that I needed to get saved. But friend, when I sing about Him tonight, I'm singing about who He is, amen, in His glory and in His honor tonight. You ought to sing to God about who He is. You ought to praise Him. You ought to testify about Him, to Him, about what He's done and who He is. And let me say this tonight. We praise Him because of the beauty of holiness. He is holy. Now, you know, there's nothing wrong with being holy tonight. The Bible said to praise him because of the beauty of holiness. Holiness is beautiful tonight. God thinks holiness is beautiful. You want to be beautiful in the eyes of God? Live holy. The Bible said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 16, he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. We serve a holy God tonight. He's worthy to be praised. Just because of who he is tonight, he's worthy to be praised. Can I say this? Listen. They were praising him. Now imagine. Now think about this for a second. He got his singers together, got the choir together, and he got to sending them out. And you have to understand what's going on. He gets the choir together and sends them out in front of the army. So you got the choir, and then the army, and then the rest of Judah. And so they go out, and he said, now I want you to go out and praise the beauty of holiness. And it says, and as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Not only because of who he is, but because of what he's done, the mercy that he's had toward us. But when we come in here tonight, we should never forget the works that the Lord's done for us tonight. What has he done for you? Listen tonight, I want you to understand something. Whether you're saved or unsaved, Jesus done a work at Calvary, friend, that nobody else could. Boy, I'm telling you, I think about Calvary sometimes, and it's a fleeting moment, and it just goes through my mind in one mind and out the other, in one ear and out. But you know, every now and again, I'll begin to dwell on that thing. You ever just dwelled on Calvary? You ever thought about what was at Golgotha and all the place, all the things that took place leading up to it, where they whipped him, they tried him, they whipped him, they beat him, they mocked him, they stripped him naked, they put that purple robe on him, plaited the crown of thorns and put it on his head, gave him that staff and then took it away from him, and beat that crown of thorns down upon his head till the blood ran. Friend, he was a bloody mess. Isaiah 52, I said his visage was marred more than any man. All that work he done for me and you. And then not only that, they took him after they had just beat him unrecognizable as a man, and then they hung him up between the heavens and the earth so that he could die for me and you. I believe he's worthy and had to be praised tonight because of the work that he accomplished at Calvary tonight. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, if he wouldn't have went to Calvary, we'd still be dead in our sins, dying and going to hell. But boy, ain't you thankful for Calvary? And you ask me why I'm happy, and I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Why are my sins are gone tonight? Friend, because of what Jesus done at Calvary. Boy, I'm so thankful tonight that he went to Calvary. God imputed our sins to him. We talked about this morning. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Romans 5 and 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You don't know why I want to praise him tonight? Well, I want to praise him because he went to Calvary. Listen to me now. I want to praise him because he went to Calvary. Hey, they didn't make him go to Calvary. Listen, what was it? What was it he said over in John? What was it over there that he said? That I lay down my life. He said, I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it again. Hey, thanks be unto God for that. They didn't force him to go. He went willingly. Amen. Well, I'm telling you tonight, I'm so thankful that he went willingly. What was it we sing this morning also, that when he went over to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, and the Bible said that he went a little further than Peter, James, and John, and said, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless not my will, but thy will be done. He's worthy to be praised tonight. Boy, if he's your Savior, you ought to just jump up and just want to shout a little while. I always remember, was it Brother Jim White that was preaching that message? He was preaching one time on Behold, I Thought, and got to talking about that boy that was come out of the psychiatric ward over there next to their church and got saved. And he said he got saved that morning. And said he come back that night and said the preacher got to preaching on the blood of the Lamb. And said all of a sudden in the middle of that service, said that old boy just stood up. And said he just stood there, had a wild look in his eye. And finally, he said, hooray for Jesus. He didn't know what to do, but he knew he needed to do something to praise the Lord.
Well, I'm telling you, boy, ain't you glad when it, boy, I'm telling you, when it can get real in your heart. Well, we talk about it so much that sometimes it just don't seem real to us. But can I tell you tonight, Jesus died for you, went to Calvary. And if you're not saved tonight, you can come and get saved. If you've never trusted Him as your personal Savior, you can get saved tonight. Jesus loves you and died for you and wants to save you. And boy, I'm telling you, it is so simple to come and get saved. That if you'll believe that He lived and died and rose again and trust Him and ask Him to save you, He'll save you tonight. Listen to me now. But boy, if you've ever trusted Him and He saved you, you are to praise Him tonight. You say, I can't sing good, preacher. That's all right, sing anyway. I don't testify well. That's all right to say I'm glad to be saved and Jesus done it. If you got to jump up and say hooray for Jesus, that's fine. Amen. It'll be all right. Hey, listen, there's something inside of us that should want to praise Him for the work of Calvary tonight. I'm just glad to be saved. Now, I'm glad I'm more than saved. I'm kept. Amen. And He works for me. Jesus the Lord, He works for me. But I'm glad to be saved tonight. I don't ever want to get too far from the cross. Might get to thinking that I've done something, but I ain't done nothing except trust Him tonight. I want to praise Him for the work that He done at Calvary, but then I want to praise Him for the work that He accomplishes for us. How many times has the Lord ever done anything for you? How many times has the Lord ever done anything for you undeservingly? Not Him being undeserving, but you. And me being undeservingly. How many times has God comforted you in the midst of your trials? How many times has He answered your prayers? How many times has He seen a need and met a need? How many times has God done that? How many times has God blessed you beyond what you could ever imagine or what you deserve? Psalms chapter 145, the psalmist said, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. And I will declare thy greatness. David said, I'm going to tell you what you done. You ever got in a meeting? You ever got in a place where, and we've had some around here in the past, boy, I mean, when we just begin to sing, God just began to come by. Or where folk began to testify, and God just began to come by. He enjoys that. God enjoys that. He ain't got a complex. And a lot of people think God's got a complex. No, He's worthy. And you begin to tell about getting saved, and then you begin to tell about how God's answered prayers and brought you through, and boy, I mean, just delivered and done all kinds of... He loves that tonight. Psalms chapter 9 said, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. That was Israel's problem. Psalm 78 talks a lot about Israel and their going away from God. He said, for all this they sinned still and believed not His wondrous works. They just didn't believe what God had done. Can I ask you something tonight? What about, have you ever praised Him before He's ever done anything? What do you mean by that, preacher? You got a need, but say, I just want to praise the Lord anyhow. Whether He meets that need like I think He's going to, or whether He meets it some other way, or whether He don't meet that need at all, or what I think is a need. A lot of times we don't want to praise Him until He's done something drastic for us or wonderful for us. He's done something wonderful for you tonight if you're saved. You ought to praise Him. Hey, I'm telling you, you just ought to praise Him tonight. When's the last time that you testified? Listen, it don't even have to be in the church house. I've seen folk, I watched one video, we learned a song by one video of a family. They were gathered on their front porch. I don't know if they had a death in the family or what, but they were gathered on their, drugged the piano out there on the front porch. And man, they were sitting all everywhere on the front porch. You know what they were doing? They were out there praising the Lord. They're right there singing their hearts out. Notice it said right here, they praise the beauty of holiness and went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, that's when God began to move, is when they began to sing and to praise. Now, God already had things lined up and in order. We understand that because he said, I want you to go down here tomorrow. And I want you to just watch what's going to happen. But notice what got God to move. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. You got all of Judah coming out through here, and you've got the army, and you've got Judah, and you've got the choir going out through here, and this wasn't no little choir. And from what I've been told, and they had a men's choir and a women's choir, and they'd go out through there, and I can imagine as they go out to sing, I kind of wonder if the enemy heard them coming. You ever think about that? Whether the enemy heard them coming and wonder what that sound is that they're singing about. They're singing about the Lord and his mercy that endures forever. So as they sung together, God began to move. Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. We've got the dedication of Solomon's temple. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. There's 14 verses in this chapter, and let's just read them. Thus, all the work that Solomon, verse 1, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. You know, that's what you do with your children. God would not let David build that house, but boy, he stored up a lot of stuff that Solomon could use in the house of God. You know what you need to do if you're raising children? Store up a bunch of stuff and give it to them where they can use it to serve God. Amen? Give them something to serve God with. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribe and the chief of the fathers and children of Israel unto Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the Ark, and they brought up the Ark and the tabernacle of the congregation. And all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, these did the priests and the Levites bring up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. Well, I bet God liked that. I ain't being facetious either. I bet God liked that. Go back over and look in the Old Testament. He liked that. And these priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place to the oracle of the house, under the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves there above. And they drew out the staves of the ark, that the ends of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without. And there it is unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. It came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, and of Jeduthun, and with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen. Now get this. They got all the singers out. Now imagine what's going on. They brought the tabernacle, they've got the Ark of the Covenant, and they've brought it back where Solomon has built the temple at. And they brought this thing in and they've set it in the most holy place. And they've got it ready to go. And notice what he does right here. He's got the priests and the Levites set in their order to do their job. By the way, God is a God of order, and you need to understand that tonight. He's always been a God of order. So he gets his singers together and he says, being arrayed in white linen. Boy, I bet they shined, didn't they, in that white linen. Having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. I bet this thing's fixing to get loud. What do you think? You got 120 priests down here fixing to blow some trumpets. I bet he's fixing to get loud. And it came to pass as the trumpets and singers, now look what your Bible says, were as one. You remember what I said this morning about praying? We pray with one heart, one soul, and one mind. We come together in one accord to pray. Hey, when we come to praise, we come together as one. And said, so to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praise the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Seems like we've heard that somewhere. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. It was not when they set the ark in place. It was not when the priests and the Levites were in order to do their job. It's when they began to sing and to praise Him that the glory of God showed up. You want God to come by in our meeting, we not only need to pray together, we need to praise together. I know we come in and sing, but let me ask you tonight, how much do we sing from the heart and praise Him, or are we just repeating words tonight? I know some of you come in here and sing from the heart, and that's great, but what are you doing tonight? They praise the Lord and He moved. In the text scripture, they praise the Lord and He moved. You know, that might be what you need to do tonight, get God to move in your life, is just praise the Lord. That's just liable to get Him to move. Just want to praise Him for who He is. Now notice back in the text scripture that when they began to praise Him, God set out ambushments. And God defeated the enemy. Not only did God defeat the enemy, He not only defeated the enemy this way, but He also, and that, blessed the nation of Judah with the spoils of the enemy. They went out just to praise the Lord. And God killed the enemy and then blessed them in the process at the same time. And whether God done any of that or does any of that for me or you, He's still worthy. But I'm going to be honest tonight. A lot of times when I just praise the Lord and praise Him from the heart, it's just a blessing. God blesses me. It's hard to believe sometimes. We ought to praise together. Last of all, in praising together, that's how it's going to be in heaven. That's what it is now in heaven. According to the book of Isaiah, you got them seraphims up there flying around. Each one had six wings, with 20 covered his face, and with 20 covered his feet, with 20 did fly, and cried one to another, and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. I believe them seraphims are still flying around up in heaven right now in the same way, and they're praising the Lord for who He is. What did they cry? Holy, holy, holy. What did the nation of Judah go out to praise the Lord for in 2 Chronicles chapter 20? What was it? To praise Him for the what? Beauty of holiness. There's a good message on holiness in that. I may have to preach sometime. They're praising Him because of His holiness. Come time, Revelation chapter 5 as I close. Revelation 5, praising together. I don't like coming to a dry meeting. I sure don't like preaching a dry meeting. I don't want to work it up, but you know, sometimes we got to be pumped up a little bit to be reminded what God done for us. We come in, we're tired, and we give out, and we've lived a hard life this past week. We've got trouble going on. Folk are worried about this and that, and we can't seem to focus on what we need to focus on. I'm glad there's a day that's all going to be over with. Revelations 5 and 8. Let me back up. Let's just read in verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open the book, or to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Now notice how John seen him. Seen him as that Lamb that had been slain. Said, having every one of them hearts and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. How were me and you redeemed tonight? What were we redeemed by? 1 Peter 1:8, the blood. The blood is the blood of the Lamb. 1 Peter 1:18 and verse 19, we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hey, listen, I believe the church is sitting in this thing. And has made unto us, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sat upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him. I believe that's the church that liveth forever and ever. When we get to heaven, it's going to be a time of praise together. Well, I don't like them people over there, preacher. I can't praise with them. You better get used to it now. Well, I'm going to tell you, if they're saved and you're saved, we all going to be in heaven praising together. You might as well figure it out now. Yeah, I'm just being honest. You might as well get it figured out now, how to praise together and worship him. Hey, listen, when you put him on the pedestal where he belongs and get us off of it, it's a whole lot easier to praise him tonight. Praising him together. You want God to do something for you, pray, but then praise him. When God's people praise, P-R-A-Y-S, he does things. When God's people praise is him, P-R-A-I-S-E-S. God does things. When's the last time you praised him? Let's bow our heads tonight if we would.